I'm not going to be as inspiring as Eitan Katz is going to be tonight, but we'll see what we can do. Okay. I'm going to take a little bit of a different angle when I've spoken about Shovim. Shovim is these parshiyas of Shmos, Ve'era, Bo, Vishalach, Yisro, Mishpatim. And it's to work on Inyanim pertaining to Shmir Tanayim and sanctifying our Kedusha and Shmir Tzabris. Okay. There's perhaps no topics that are more important to talk about. It's an area where everybody in their own right struggles, but as Rabina says, it's great. One of the bad things about Wai Torah, they keep really, until they start really listening to what I'm saying, everything's going on. But as Rabina says, if you say being Shomer Nagi is easy, you're either lying or you're gay. So, we take that for whatever it's worth, but it's obviously an Indian that's very, very difficult for everybody. In the summer, we started doing some alumni Zoom shiurim, and we had Rav Paltiel, Rav Gerzi, and Rav Eliyahu did a thing on Shmiras Abris. And one of the people who went there, an anonymous person, sent an email to Rav Boaz or Natan or Rav Citrin, saying that since that year, 6 months ago, they have not stumbled one time in that area. We don't know. It could be a married person. It could be a guy who's 35. It could be a person who's 20. You have no idea. But anybody who does stumble and has issues in that area, to go 6 months is incredibly, incredibly inspiring. I can only say on a personal note, because I do know who the person is, but one of my Talmidim from this yeshiva told me he just had his 1 year anniversary, which is amazing. It's amazing. It's really, really hard. It's whatever. And COVID of all times. We talked about on Lech Lecha with our Bris Mila area, how the statistics have showed that it's just been out of control during COVID, especially in March and April, how certain websites had more traffic than they've ever had in the history of a month. So specifically during this time, to be reaching these heights is just incredible. We're going to talk about several areas, several thoughts that are just pertaining to me that I'm thinking about during here. One thing for sure is whatever you're going to do, you really should never post anything. You know, I guess we can always say Judaism is a private religion, which is true. Once you post it, it's not so private anymore. You're making it pretty public. And I know from one way or another, when I was in YU, just navigating this guy's Facebook page, a guy was a very, very stark guy, and just seeing his pictures from high school, just don't post them. Now, it ends up being that sometimes you have so many, you just delete them, or you don't even remember you have a Facebook account, whatever, but it's not a good idea. It stays with you. As Rami Goldberg, a resident of Ramat Shiloh, once told me, that when he was growing up, we didn't have the phone. So you had the cameras. I don't know if you remember, you had to have cameras. Then you had to go upload pictures. You used to have to, do this thing to get it to the next picture. Cameras and technology was a little different. And what's happening is, you may have pictures. Okay, they're in your parents or your, or whatever, in the basement, or stuck beneath, a million other boxes at one point when your parents, move on or sell the house, you'll be responsible to have to go through. But, it's not so easy. I don't think that, we're going around to those people's basements to check the pictures. But once you post it on Facebook, you post it on the internet, it's there forever. And, we even had a few weeks ago, Porter, this guy was the GM of the Mets. He had 60, 70, whatever it was, messages that he had sent a female reporter of his area. And for 5 years she waited, and it came out, and the guy lost his job for 5 years. As one of my close chaverim, he told me, he's not embarrassed to say his name, he did nothing wrong, but Eitan Lipstein, he told me that on that point, it kind of makes you think about, what our Bechina and Shemayim is going to be, that Hashem's going to remember everything. He's going to remember when you were 16, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50, 80, whatever it was. He's going to remember it, and he never forgets. So in Judaism, we know we have the idea of tshuva. Tshuva is an incredible thing, that we're able to repent. This guy, I don't know if he's Jewish, he doesn't have that, it doesn't matter, he doesn't have that opportunity, and it came back to really bite him. Now, would we be saying this guy is the best guy in the world if he hadn't posted and he had done things. No, he wouldn't be a tzaddik by any stretch of the imagination. But at least it'd be his word versus her word, and it wouldn't be something coming, which wouldn't be good either. But it wouldn't be something coming back to bite you. And whatever you're going to do, and we're going to talk about this a lot, and if you do struggle with this, talk to somebody. Do not keep it bottled in. But the worst thing you can do is, if you're thinking Shai sent it, the answer is no, because you don't want any, it's with everything. I say this, to me, I'm a little surprised, but I say this, I mean, not that my opinion matters so much, but in the yeshiva, I would never go to the dorms. So I was like, you want to see the dorms? I'm like, during the summer, when you guys aren't here, I go and I'm able to see what the dorms look like. I would never go when there's a person there, because I don't need 5 years from now my word against your word for what happened. It's a crazy world, and you always protect yourself. And right now, I have this on recording. They're going to look at the recording. I say I never go to the dorms. Like, okay, you're trying to say it. Like, I said it many times that I really, really do believe that, and you really need to protect yourself. Another idea to, and we've discussed this in the past, is to realize, and I think, you know, for better or for worse, I don't think anyone really thinks that they struggle by this, on their own. Like, there's certain things you might think that, you know, the same way I said in the morning, like, I don't think LeBron, I think LeBron James knows that, like, he can get a ball in the basket a lot better than I can. But I don't think anybody really feels like they're alone in this struggle. Everyone's going through it. And I was going to mention this, but one of the most inspiring, but, like, really gut-wrenching talks I ever heard was when world-renowned psychologist Dr. Pelkovitz talked about, when I was in YU, that there were big rabbis who were dealing with these struggles on a very, very real level, and unfortunately sometimes you see it come out. But the more, so that's not so inspiring, but what's inspiring is that the people who are struggling with it, they're trying to deal with it, they're going to, because it's really a big issue, and it's so important to always be mechazik in this. It's not only, it's like anything, you know, Elul is not really just for 1 month. I mean, it really is, because it really is, the idea is to prepare for Rosh Hashanah and Aseret Tshuva and Yom Kippur. But really, our whole life is, you know, it's a formulation of tshuva. But I can't today, you know, on Yutesh Shvat, I can't just be like, have that fire that you have on Chav Zayin Elul. Like, there's a different feeling in the air. So all year, there's not, it's not that when we hit Iyar, now we're, you know, we have all the, you know, all the Yom HaTzmud and Yom Yerushalayim and Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaShoah and all everything that's coming out, like the Yom HaShoah, I think it's in Nisan. It's not like at that point in the year that all of a sudden, oh no, now it's okay. Now, like, you see a girl walking, you know, you don't see it so much in Ramat Beit Shemesh, a little bit, but you know, you'll have times when some of you may end up living in Manhattan, and you'll have to work in this city, and the city ain't exactly Ramat Beit Shemesh. Even if you go to Yerushalayim, it's a little different than Ramat Beit Shemesh. And you'll literally see, you know, and we'll get to a point where people will be on subways again, and you know, it's cramped, and everyone's on top of each other, and that's an issue every single day. It's a struggle people have every single day. But okay, we devote, you know, a 6 week portion, because, you know, we couldn't handle it. It'd be too much. You know, we're not all Mr. Consistent like Mordechai that, you know, gives me all year round. I can take everything. The rest of us, you know, if it was all year, it would be too much, but something to always be thinking about and being mechazik, and you know, a lot of times, happens not to be anyone in this room, so good or bad, I guess. But there are Talmidim who tell me all the time, it's so important you talk about it, it's such an important thing. So generally speaking, if somebody says that, it's kind of their way of saying, I struggle with it, because otherwise, you know, for people are saying, like, why do you talk about it? Okay, obviously it's not a struggle for you. I don't know. For most people, I think we get back to what I said at the beginning, for most people, it's always going to be a struggle. And marriage just brings on different struggles. It doesn't escape it. It just brings on different struggles. But, you know, okay, when people tell me that, it makes it obviously very important that that it needs to be shared. And I had a filter for about 2 days on a computer. My computer had mega crashed, and I had to get a new computer. To which point I realized, like, I don't know, like, I guess you need a filter, but I also need a computer. So I don't know, I guess they say some don't cause computers to crash, but I think it's very important if you have filters that don't cause computers to crash, and I think you also have to know yourself. Like, if you really, really struggle to not have a filter, like, you're going to stumble. I think what's even better And probably really, because filters in a way are, they're not really so productive, because I had it for a little bit. I had, I got inspired, because Benji's screen time is like 53 minutes a day. So I got inspired that I wanted to do that. So for many ways for me, that wouldn't just, it wouldn't be, I probably also couldn't do my job if my screen time was 53 minutes a day, but I got a little bit, inspired. So I put this screen time, like closing down apps on my phone. I'm like, oh, it's great. Except, it's not so great. I can just go on my phone, I turn it off. Oh, 15 minutes. Okay, I turn it off for the day. And it doesn't really do all that much. So filters, in general, aren't so hard to break. What's better is these things that somebody knows what you're checking. Which, and I get a filter, those are annoying. Like, sometimes you just, you know, I just want to watch highlights of, like, the Chiefs playing the Bills. Like, you don't have to tell me I can't watch it because YouTube has other... Okay, here, maybe YouTube has inappropriate things. I don't think Chiefs-Bills is so inappropriate. But having people see what you're looking at, first off, it, for nothing else, you know, we're always going to be, you know, for better or for worse, we're always going to be more embarrassed what a chaver thinks than what the Eberster thinks. But you know, if John knows, I'm able to, you know, John's good. That's like the most generic name in the world. I have no idea what I'm talking about. If John knows that I know what he's looking at, he's going to think twice before he decides. And even maybe for a good thing, even if it's just, you know, that you play 7.5 hours a day of Candy Crush or 13 hours a day of Netflix, you know, whatever it might be, that let's even say we're not even talking about Isurim. Just stop. It's a good thing. Like everything in life, you know, the Gemara and Brachos talks about this, the things that need a chizik. Davening is always something that needs chizik. You know, we've... Because it's close to me as my dear beloved there. Davening is hard. But what needs more chizik than tefillah? What needs more chizik than tefillah? Both on, you know, just davening itself, the Indian of davening, and also on the idea of davening with a quorum of Yehudim, of having a minion of Jews together. This is something that we always need to be davening for help in. And everything we need to daven for help in, but this is something that's really, because even like, you know, let's just say we're only going to be worried about what's happening in this world. And we're not so concerned about the Olam HaEmes. We're not so concerned about the next world. We're concerned about this world. So let's just say, for argument's sake, you know, I decide, you know, I'm going to call you Kierte, and we're just going to rip Noah to shreds. Let's just say that's what we're going to do. At the end of the day, you know, I guess it would depend how bad it was, but let's just say Yakir and I can be really good. We're not even going to share that. Let's just say me and Yakir are going to rip Noah. You know, at the end of the day, Noah will probably be pretty forgiving, and it won't really, really, long term, it's not going to affect my life. I mean, it'll affect it because, like, you know, when we get up to Olam Haba, and I see all five of you are in, like, you know, you're in, like, the box of Olam Haba, and I'm in, like, it's not even the bleachers, I'm so far back, they haven't yet made binoculars that you guys are able to see me. I'm going to realize that Lashon Hara about Noah wasn't really worth it. But when it comes to ideas of Shmiras of Bris, it's even more crucial that we don't mess up, because one mess up can really change everything. It could change everything. It could give, you know, it's an idea that it always has to come back to this, because I think at your age, there's nothing more important. But the number one problem is what you're doing towards your future family. For one, you're putting yourself in a position where because it's never really just a one-time thing, it's going to always go on, and that's going to lead to a lot of problems when you're married. Most people's wives are not going to be like, yeah, I'm all down for that. That's great. Look at other women. That makes me feel very secure. The second issue and most important issue is you're also creating a very wrongful image of what you're hoping and what your wife ultimately will be. So to daven every day that if it is a problem, that Hashem helps you, and we take things day by day. I think that's the number one yesod from COVID. Like, I like to plan ahead. Even this Eitan Katz concert, as much as, like, really, on Shabbos, it wasn't such a dumber question that this was going to happen, or definitely Thursday. Like, and, you know, it's not so easy when you want to plan things, you want sponsors, and you want everything to go on, when you want the guys to, like, we want you to know what's going on. Like, you know, life in a limbo is not so simple, but COVID has taught us life is day by day. We take it day by day. So one day, and then every day, you know, you keep on improving. And that Talmud who's at a year, or that other guy, we don't know who he is, who's at 6 months, and now more, it didn't. He didn't get the 6 months overnight. He got the 6 months, but by a day. And at the top of the year, I asked him, like, is it easier? Like, yeah, it's gotten easier. It's not easy at the beginning, but then it becomes a part of it. It's like everything in life. You know, we master the art. Was it Tom Brady 8 yard pass to Wes Welker or Eric Decker, whoever his slot receiver was, and Edelman? But was it easy at first? No, but he mastered the craft, and then it just became a part. It became a part of his life, and that really is. It's taking it day by day, and being happy where we are, but understanding everything is a tefillah. Everything is through that connection to Hashem, and whatever struggles we have in life, always knowing to turn to Hashem. And then just lastly, is when we waste time, something is coming at the expense. Now, you know, this isn't like 1993 yeshiva where, you know, your parents basically say in like August when you get on the flight, I'll see you Pesach. Like, I'm not really going to hear from you until Pesach. Like, we're living in very different times, so ideas that are shared over are very, very different. But in life, we need to feel productive. So one of the worst things when we mess up with, like, you go on a website. So let's just say for argument's sake, and this wouldn't be good either, but let's just say for argument's sake, you go on a website, you look at things you shouldn't look at, you spend 30 seconds on it, and then you move on with your life. So that's not really practical, and that's not really realistic. But let's just say for argument's sake that happened. Okay, you wasted 30 seconds. He did something not good. We're always going to pretend in this orbit world that doesn't then affect the rest of your day and your learning and everything else that's going on in your life. But, you know, notwithstanding that, okay, it was only 30 seconds. But what generally will happen is, I see it on a mutter perspective. Like, I see my son. I was watching it yesterday. I was working. I was literally next to him on a tablet. It's crazy. I don't know if you guys do this. He literally, in a span of 10 minutes, was on 18 different things. Like, everyone's just 1 to 2 to 3. Like, we can't even watch. When my wife and I sit down to watch, like, an episode, we actually watch an episode of a show. Like, we don't have to watch 18 different things at once. Like, we're actually able to focus because we're still at that door where, like, you know, you actually have to wait a week before the show came back. Like, you know, we actually know from that world, like, you could actually focus. But, like, nowadays, like, you can't even focus. Like, you're going on a million things, and you end up, and the next thing you know, you just spend 5 hours. So, besides the fact that the end enjoyment that you have, you know, is like 3 seconds of enjoyment. So that in of itself, you should be obvious it's not worth it. But you just wasted 5 hours. It's crazy. You know, I don't know who runs Tomchei Shabbos. You're getting in touch with Tomchei Shabbos. Do something useful. So the fact that we waste so much time, it's really, really bad. Now, that's not to say that if we play Dungeons and Dragons? I only know this from what I've seen from Joe. Which one is it? Dungeons and Dragons? Dragons and Dungeons? It's one of those two. Perfect. It's not to say if you waste 5 hours on that, you should be like, oh, I'm Rebbe Yashiv would be envious of me because, you know, I'm the Gadol HaDor because that's what I'm doing. Like, that's not so great either. But they're both bad. They're both big ways. Anything that causes massive wasting of time or takes on a new realm is not great. But it causes such a level of bittul Torah and such a level of. You gotta go.
No, I'm just
emphasizing. All right, you gotta do what you gotta do. It just caused such a waste of time. And generally, what happened? Like, I remember. And I was actually asking Rabbi Tadal if he's ever spoken about this. I don't ever remember him speaking about it, but I had him for, they called it a chabura slot, which we used to have after Mincha Shana Aleph. And I remember him one time talking about this. We're doing Mesilas Yesharim, but I don't know. I had a chabura slot, and I don't know if we ever learned what's inside the Sefer, or he just took one line and then just started talking about whatever he wanted to talk about. But he would say that, like, when you look at something, and the only thing that sticks to me from him saying about this is you'll look at something inappropriate, and you'll spend hours and hours, and then ultimately you'll, the seed will come out of you, and you'll have made your Kedushas a bris, not Kadosh. You've made it unholy, and then after, you had 3 seconds of enjoyment, and immediately after, you know, assuming we're at a point where, like, we're trying to grow, you have that regret. So just thinking that in a vacuum doesn't make it so easy to be like, okay, I'm just not going to do it. But to always think back to, like, I don't even really, it's not even like one of those things that you have such enjoyment. Like, I've had like shawarma that I've had for hours after. I'd be like, that was amazing. I'm so full. Like, I even like, even from like food, gosh, I like food. And I've gotten this intermittent dieting. It's not easy. It's not easy to not eat. I like food. And that enjoyment stays along. We had burritos last year. My wife made homemade burritos. I think it was the top five meal we've ever had. It was unbelievable. We had this last Tuesday. I'm still talking about it a week later, and I want to have it again. It was so good. That sticks with me. That's also like not, you know, okay, I gotta value what I'm really doing, that I'm thinking about burritos for a week. But that was like, those were amazing, and that stuck with me. Like, that didn't even last 2 seconds. Other times, for 2 seconds? 2 seconds is really, it's really worth it. And also, again, the point I made, you know, a little bit in jest at the beginning, like, imagine for 30 seconds you're, you know, you only spend 30 seconds, but it's not really realistic. You know, it causes our lack of tour. Like, you can't live like a double life. Like, you'll go one way. Like, Noah's not going through Shabbos. Like, you're not making Masechet Shabbos. You're not making those strides. You're not learning with Hasmada. You're not, as Benji's saying, holding up, you know, your little chevra in that pit, you know, whatever pit we find ourselves in for the day through wasting time. Like, we matura, you're gonna see something that's lacking in you, because we can't have those multiple lives. And we may think, okay, so you may be leaving here. You may say to yourself, so what am I supposed to do if I have this struggle? So Mark is telling me I'm basically done. So I'm not saying you're done. It's like anything. Everything in life requires work. It's you know, we all have areas that we struggle in, and then we have to work. And I think the most important thing one can do, and even if you don't really struggle, and it's just you know, we'll call it on a smaller surface. And Shmir Zinayim is a big Indian. And when I was listening to other people talk about this, and they were talking about Shmir Zinayim in many different aspects, that I'm not so into like looking on the ground when you walk. We are an embodiment of Hashem, and I think to just like look, like literally looking at the ground, like, and then not knowing, and walking into things and falling over, like, one is probably shtick, and even if it's not shtick, I'm not so into that. So when my Rebbe, Reb Mordechai Willig, I remember him saying this, that we're normal, you're normal, like, even like within just living a normal life, you walk, you see somebody, okay, you saw somebody, and you see them one time, Hashem is not holding you for that. But then there is, did you take the second look? Did you take the gaze? And then, you know how you're, a week later, like, I'm talking about the burritos, you're still thinking about like that Tefera girl that you happen to see, or the person in the neighborhood, or the girl from Kansas City, or whoever, or Detroit, or whoever, LA, or whatever it might be. Whatever the case might be. That's when you know it wasn't just one time, because you don't think about it a week later. It doesn't stick in your head a week later. But to understand, yeah, you don't have to look at the ground, you walk, but to really be mechazik, and to, you know, I'll conclude with taking it off, I don't want this to be recorded, I'm going to say, but we'll conclude at this part, to really, really talk with your Rebbeim and anybody and people, and I said it now three times, to really stress that importance, because it's an area of struggle, and it'll be different struggles in every stage of life. But to keeping it bottled in, it just leads to disaster. And I don't know so many people, but I know some people who their lives have crumbled. Their lives have crumbled to divorce, to time in jail. Like, they have and still in jail. Like, their lives have really hit rock bottom because they didn't go to get help. They didn't go to get help. And, you know, it would be an obvious point. You know, if you're going to ask, you know, we'll just save argument's sake, but this would be a hack. If you were to ask, like, receive in the halacha group, what bracha do I make on deli roll? And that's going to be something of chashivas to know. And yeah, it's important. You should know what bracha you make on deli roll. And, you know, it's a machlokas, and you should know what bracha you make on deli roll. Al achas kama v'kama on hashkafic ideas, on ideas that will really embody what you're going to be and can really, really take your life to the gutter of all gutters. You should definitely talk to people who can help and can help you reach the highest level of kedusha.